It means praise the Lord. That's a Swahili term that was used regularly behind our pulpits. And this evening I just want to greet you in His holy name. I want to thank the church, the congregation here, for your hospitality, your warmness toward me. This past week, I have enjoyed my stay. I was had the privilege to visit in numerous of your homes and learn to know you better. I have just really, really enjoyed that. May God bless you as you continue forward and as you serve God, and especially with the work at Bangladesh. I just wish you God's blessing, and as you face decisions and crossroads, God will be with you. He's going to take you step by step. And I'm often just have to thank the Lord for the way He does things, because if we would know what the future holds, we would probably become discouraged. But step by step, the Scripture promises us He's going to lead us. He's going to allow things to come into our experience, but He's also going to give us the grace to carry forward. So I am very thankful for that. I appreciate the things that I have learned from you, and also your friendships. I will not soon forget. We also desire your prayers as we continue to move forward and as we serve God and seek to do His will, that we can be faithful until the end. You know, the reward is at the end. And I just want to give that encouragement to everyone, not to give up, to move forward, to fight forward for the kingdom of God. Turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy 6. Verse 11, I'm going to read from verse 11 through 16. Here it says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I charge thee in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and the only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen." The title of my message this evening is, "But Thou, O Man of God." There's a volume of thoughts that may go through your mind as we think of this instruction that Paul was giving to Timothy. I think it was here. "But thou, O man of God," he says, "flee these things." Approximately 10 years ago, we took a family trip to the Johnstown Flood Museum, which is just near here. And as I was driving through this area and I noticed the Johnstown signs, this whole thing came back to my memory of how that must have been. I don't know how many of you, maybe all of you, have visited that place. But I remember as we were there, the impression that it made upon my heart. There was a flood in Johnstown in 1889. 14 miles upcountry was a great big earthen structure that man had built and created a dam with millions and millions of gallons of water behind a great big lake. And I forget the name of the lake. I think if my memory serves me correctly, it was called Lowell Lake or something like that. I don't remember for sure. But this was a product of the rich men that came from Pittsburgh and wealthy areas, and they built this for a resort where they could come and spend some leisure time out on the lake. This earthen structure was built by man, and it was built in a way so that when the floods came and when there was a lot of water, they could open the floodgates to allow the pressure that was pushing behind to escape. But there was a concern that the people had down in the city of Johnstown, because they knew that if there would ever be a day that that dam would break, they would be in some serious trouble. And as time went on, the caretakers and those who were taking care of that of the dam became careless, and they weren't up to date with their floodgates. And one rainy spring in May, they were having rains one day after the next for some days. And the water level of that lake rose, and it came higher and higher. And finally it reached a time when they realized that they need to do something. And they went to try to open the floodgates, and the things didn't work, and they tried to find other ways to release the pressure that was pushing. Finally, as they discovered that they were in a big problem and it was still raining, and as the water rose and it began to go over the dam, they knew that it's not if, but when is this thing going to go? And so they sent a man down from upcountry on horseback, went down into the Johnstown city, and he announced to them, "Get out, you must move to higher ground. The dam is going to break." There were three types of responses that people gave to that. Some said, "Oh, we heard this many times." Others laughed and didn't believe it. While there were still others who were willing to head to higher ground for safety. The unthinkable thing happened. The dam busted. And the water from behind came gushing down the valley. And in that it picked up railroad cars and all kinds of debris and comes crashing into the city and destroyed many lives. And it was a very, very bad catastrophe. Many people had lost their lives. These people had the opportunity to flee. And as I thought of this verse here this evening, it says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things." Flee. What does it mean to flee? I believe to flee simply means that you're going to go without hesitation. There are four things in this portion of Scripture that I want to talk about here this evening. And it's talking to the man of God. Here we have the word flee. Secondly, he says, and follow. I can't even spell a simple word as follow when I'm in front of a crowd. Thirdly, in verse 12, he says, fight the good fight of faith. And lastly, in verse 14, it says that thou keep this commandment. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. What was he talking about? Let's go back a few verses. And we're going to notice here what he was talking about, what he is to flee. And as I thought of those people that were in that Johnstown city at that time, they had the warning to flee. They had an opportunity to get out of the problem and go for safety and refuge. And this verse, it says, and thou, O man of God, flee. And that means you must go, and you must go without resistance. Verse 3, it says, and I believe the Apostle Paul was teaching young Timothy many precepts, many practices, or principles. And he was bold enough to teach him and say that the things that I have taught you are truth. And if there's any other doctrines that you hear of men, don't follow it. But here he says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. And as he was teaching Timothy, and he was showing this truth, a few verses dropping down to verse 9, it says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. What was he to flee? I believe we can see here. He was to flee pride. Did you know that's something to flee from? It means it's something that is going to bring destruction to your life. It will destroy you. Flee from pride. Flee from doting about questions and strifes of words. When we get into those kinds of situations, debates, and those types of issues, it's better we flee. It's better we leave it that way than to get ourselves in trouble. It says it will gender envy and strife, railings, evil surmisings. Oh, we need to be careful. He instructed Timothy to flee these things. Don't get involved in such kinds of debates and arguments that are going to cause strife and gendering. He also said, flee perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds. When we get into those kinds of areas and people with a corrupt mind who speak of their lusts and the lust of their flesh and they follow after those things, if those things are tempting to us, he says, flee those things. Those things are going to catch up. And they're going to destroy. As those men were there in Johnstown. And they said, oh, we have heard this many a time. The resounding words of the Gospels and of the Scripture still says, flee. It will destroy. It will bring catastrophe in your life. also said that those are destitute of the truth, and those who have passion for wealth, flee those things. Oh, I'm so blessed that he didn't only tell Timothy to flee, but then he said, and follow after. I believe that every time when God teaches us, tells us to flee, there's something we need to follow after. We're not left with a dead-end street when we flee. When those people left the city of Johnstown, those that went to higher plane, higher ground for safety, I don't know what kind of options they had. Their message was to flee, to get out of there. But we have in the written word the things we are to flee, the things we are to leave behind, and then what we are to go after. We're not left empty. We're left with a solution. And I believe the man of God, but thou, O man of God, and I want to say it means women too. Thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness. Follow after. When you follow after something, it means to pursue, to press toward. It takes effort to follow. And I believe that we want to live the Christian life, and we are fleeing from our old life and those things that enslave us and cause us to fall. It is important we put effort to following Christ. His word. He says here, follow after righteousness. A.W. Tozer, it is said of A.W. Tozer that seeking truth and seeking God was one of the same thing. And you think about that. When we seek truth, we seek God. God is truth. He says that it is one of the same thing. Many have been snared in thinking, which insists that if we have found God, we need no more to seek Him. I believe that our Christian life, if we want to be men and women of God, we're going to pursue, we're going to seek after that which is right. We're going to follow after. We're going to follow after righteousness. What is righteousness? I believe in this context, righteousness has a twofold meaning. Righteousness means being right with God. First of all, we need to get our heart right with God. How do we get right with God? I believe it's by fleeing those things, confessing those things, getting those things behind us and moving forward. That is righteousness, to get our heart right with God. I also believe that it all means doing what is right. So first of all, we have the righteousness that comes from God by confessing our sin and getting our life right. And then it also means to do right. It's not that difficult to understand righteousness. Sometimes we think that righteousness is some high, lofty position that is very difficult to attain. It's not that difficult. It's only simply following God and doing what is right. Living exactly as God wants us to live, or how He tells us to live. A person who does his duty both to God and to man. Sometimes we have the thinking to do righteousness with God. We will read the Bible, pray, go to church. But we can easily discredit a church member or some other person by speaking evil against him. Or slanderous words. Is that doing righteousness? That's not doing righteousness. We are to pursue, follow after righteousness. Godliness. What is godliness? Godliness means to be Christ-like. It is living upon earth just as Christ lived. godliness. Let's take the examples of Jesus and follow his examples. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Godliness means to be Christ-like. It means that we refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself in godliness, that which is godly and right. I believe God instills within our soul and within our heart a concept of what is right. Titus 2 verse 12 and 13, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. We are to follow after righteousness and godliness and faith. We are to follow after these things. Because we have run away from those other things that we were to flee. Follow after godliness. Faith. Faith means both to believe and to be faithful. We not only believe, but we are also faithful. Following after faith. Living a life that expresses faith. The man of God seeks faith to learn to trust God. To learn to trust God more and more, to be a man of faith, a man of great faith and belief. He wants us to believe, to trust, and depend upon God. So we can grow more and more like him. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Follow after faith. Follow after faith and love. Love. I believe this word love here means we are to love one another as God has loved us. It's an agape love. A man of God is going to pursue love. He's going to express love. Follow after those things. Patience and meekness. I believe that patience sometimes it can be a real test of our lives. Patience is that of endurance. Many times we think of patience as being when we're just laid back when we're at a crossroad or a circumstance, we're just patient with it. But the word patience here means a little more than that. It means endurance. Did you know it takes patience to endure? The scripture talks about enduring unto the end. And I believe that that means that we should not get weary in well-doing. But that we have patience and are find the strength of the Lord until the end. Pursue after patience. It can tie in very close to faithfulness. Meekness means to be gentle, tender, humble, considerate, but strong in our lives. Meekness has an humble state of mind. But this does not mean that the person is weak. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is simply the gift or the ability to accept things that come our way that seem difficult and we're just meek and humble enough to accept it. Meekness has a strong self-control. And I believe that we should follow after that. When he says we are to flee questions and challenges and strifes, and he replaces it by saying we are to follow after meekness. It's the opposite. Oh, God, help us to follow meekness. Flee these things, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after. Fight the good fight of faith. Oh, I'm so blessed with the effort that it takes in our life. We are to fight, to struggle, to labor fervently for our faith. It is the idea of a desperate effort and struggle. The believer is in a desperate struggle for eternal life. That is what we want to achieve at the end of the day, is life eternal. And I believe that in our lives as men and women of God, we need to fight the good fight of faith. We need to do what it takes, surrender our hearts, our lives, and deny ourselves of those things that are going to hinder us from reaching the goal, which is glory. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Remember, in decisions and things we face, let's remember the end. Where is this thing going to take me? How is this going to influence my life? We need to lay hold on eternal life. Is my life in such a condition that I could say that if I should die even now, that I would go from here to eternal bliss? Or is there something we're not laying hold on eternal life? Whereunto thou art also called and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. I believe that in our Christian experience, it's not something that just happens. It takes effort. It takes faithfulness. It takes reading and praying and seeking the face of God for direction. I believe it's very important that we get in the battlefield with our enemy. Someone has said, if we don't face struggle, we're not in a battle. Sometimes we hear young people and even older ones, they say, oh, there's too much problems in the church. There's too much hassle in the church. And so they try to seek a way out. Where in the scripture do you find that the Christian life doesn't have hassle? I believe that the Christian life is a battle. And when we're not fighting the enemy, he probably already has us. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life whereunto thou art called. Let's not give up in the battle, but move forward with confidence toward God. Lastly, hear that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep this commandment. What commandment is he talking about? The man of God is to keep this commandment. There are five reasons given in the next few verses why we should keep this commandment of fleeing and following and fighting. Keep this commandment. God has the power to quicken all things in verse 13 is the first one. God has the power to quicken everything. That is why we are to get in the battleground, because he has the power. We need to fear God. God is life. He possesses the very energy and power of life within himself. God actually has the power to inject and infuse eternal life into us. There is no greater reason for keeping the commandments of God than to simply realize his power. He's going to be the judge at the end of the day. That is why we should keep this commandment, keep this battle alive in our spiritual lives. Secondly, Christ has set the example of a good profession before us, also found in verse 14. Jesus didn't give up when he was in trial with Pilate. He was willing to go to the finish line. And the finish line for him meant death. It meant his blood, so that we can be saved. That is why we should be willing to flee and to follow and to fight, because Jesus made the finish line for us. Hallelujah for that. Bless God for that power, and that He was willing to finish it so that we can also finish. If Jesus would have not reached finish line, we would be very miserable creatures. Thirdly, Christ is to come again and be exalted as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Keep this commandment, because Jesus is coming again. He's coming back someday, very soon. I believe we're in the last of the last days. There's not so many days, not so many, so much time remaining for us. I'm convinced. We look at the world, this conditions around us, and it causes us to realize that we are nearing the end. The end could be even tonight. We don't have any promise of leaving this building. We don't know when that last trump shall sound and He shall return. But it gives us reason to keep this commandment because of His intimate return. We don't know the day nor the hour. There is no promise for us to get to our homes this evening. Death doesn't wait on anybody. It doesn't wait on appointments, but it is an appointment. We don't plan for those times. When our time is up, we're finished. And then it's judgment. That is why it's so important. Because to keep these commandments is because of the coming of the Lord Jesus. He's coming again, and He's going to be exalted King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Everyone is going to confess Christ. There are people today who fear to confess Christ because of their friends. But there will be a day when we're going to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. Fourthly, Christ alone possesses immortality and dwells in the transcendent and unapproachable light of God's glory. We see that in verse 16. Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light where no man can approach unto. Oh, we have reason to be faithful. We have reason to hang in there until the very end. The fifth one here is, Christ alone has seen and can see the light of God's presence and His glory. It is only through Jesus Christ that we're going to be able to enter into the presence of the heavenly. It is only through Christ. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, those things that enslave us and trap us. Follow after righteousness and holiness, godliness and faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Keep this commandment without spot unto the end. We don't know when our time will be, but we have an appointment. We have an appointment. Are we ready for that appointment? To see Christ. Are we ready for His return? No person shall ever be allowed to see the light of God's presence and glory apart from Christ. Our sins have to be reckoned with. Some men's sins are open beforehand unto judgment, and others they follow after. I believe that if we are too ashamed to bring out our sin, that sin is going to follow us to our deathbed. and we will meet with it there. It is much better to meet with it now by choice. I want to leave this encouragement. In conclusion, to become a man of God, we need to flee, to follow after, to fight, and to keep His commandments. We are promised power in this life. We are promised eternal life and the hope of glory. We must lose everything to gain all things. May God help us to pursue after Him with our whole heart and our whole life. I believe it's so important that we follow after. We flee, we follow, we fight, and we keep unto the end. God is looking for people who are willing and who are going to make this choice for Him, and He will give us the strength to be faithful. Let's bow our heads for prayer.